This is Worldviews. I'm Suzette Gerlot. Joshua Landis, welcome back to the studio, and we're going to take advantage and get an update on Syria. So we've been hearing that Assad is, this is the beginning of the end for him. Maybe this is exaggerated. I don't know. This is what I want to know. But he's lost some big territory. He's lost a couple of big cities in the north. The rebels seem to be gaining ground. Why is that?
Well, it's absolutely true. Two big cities, Idlib, a provincial capital in the north near the Turkish border, and Cizre, just below it. Major victories. And al-Nusra, the al-Qaeda wing in Syria, has led the charge with a whole panoply of other militias that have now seemed to have surrounded it and are taking its leadership from it. So the militias are much better organized and more powerful in that sense. But we also believe that Assad is weakening. He's running out of Alawites. The Alawites are a small minority. That's his power center. They're only 12% of Syria, and maybe as close to 100,000 Alawite young men have been killed. There are only less than 3 million Alawites in Syria. So it's taken a real toll. The other religious minorities that have normally supported him don't want to send their kids out to the front. They're getting killed in big numbers. So the Assad regime seems to be weakening. The rebels are getting much better coordinated. But there's also an international dimension to this as well. The Saudi king, new Saudi king, Salman, came onto the pot just a few months ago, and he has revolutionized the regional status quo because his predecessor, King Abdullah, was very cautious, and he was much more worried about Islamic fundamentalists than he was about Iran in many ways. He'd been worried about the Muslim Brotherhood in Egypt. He supported Sisi, and that led him to be fearful of joining Turkey and Qatar in really backing up these Islamist forces. But this new king, he has prioritized getting rid of Assad, hurting Iran and Syria, even at the price of arming Nusra and these Islamist militias. And that means that he, Turkey, Qatar are on the same page, giving more weapons, more money. Because Saudi Arabia is at war in Yemen, it's a much higher priority now because they believe they're at war with Iran and Yemen, and they want to bleed Iran in Syria because Iran is the main backer of Assad sending supporting with troops, advisors, money.
Well, this is quite an interesting development with Saudi Arabia. We talked a few weeks ago about the war in Yemen that they're engaging in, but that they've got this greater kind of regional purpose. But the U.S., meanwhile, does what? I mean, it's standing by. It's engaging. It's arming. It's supporting. Saudi Arabia is an ally. So where does the U.S. stand in all of this?
Well, this is a leading from behind routine, I think. President Obama did not want to get engrossed in the Middle East, and he's urged both Turkey and Saudi Arabia to take a much more forward role in this, and now they're doing it. And in a sense, you have to be a little bit worried about what you wish for sometimes because the United States is helping Saudi Arabia in Yemen, giving a lot of advice and helping with targeting. But we haven't mentioned anything in Syria, and this is – the potential is that this will help the Islamists and al-Qaeda in Syria. Once again, the Saudis and the Turks are trying to use the Islamists to get their own ends, thinking that they'll be able to push them aside when it's all over. But we've done that before in Afghanistan and in Iraq. So it raises the question of what will this use of power and Saudi aggressiveness really accomplish in the Middle East?
Well, it doesn't sound like we have any good options.
It doesn't. We don't have good options, and we've been worried about not doing enough. And here is somebody coming along willing to do a lot more. So we'll see how it ends up.
All right. Well, Joshua, thank you very much once again for this update and your always useful insight. Thank you.
Thank you.